From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
It is time for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined by Sarah Lammers. And Sarah, we've got Masters Cup to recap from over the weekend, some national tour action. We've got some Disc Golf Pro Tour to look ahead to. And we're going to talk to a player who was on neither of those circuits this weekend, but still was managing to make some waves. We're going to talk to Dan Hastings later in the show, who put out the single best day of disc golf ever, two rounds.
Yeah. That,
just insane. So we'll be joined by Dan later on the show. Before we really get into Masters Cup stuff, I want to give one more reminder. If you want to be a PDGA board member, the elections are coming. You need to declare your candidacy by May 30th. There's also elections coming up for PDGA Europe board members. So you can find out all the information you need on that over at pdga.com right now. Thank you for those of you who want to volunteer and help us out on the BOD. So, Sarah, Masters Cup. It was soggy.
It was cold. I heard.
It was not cooperative on the weather front.
Yeah.
But
it seems like most events had this year. I don't think I have played, this weekend included, I played my own event here in Nashville. I have not played a single event that did not get rain.
GBO was great. Didn't have rain.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't play that.
Just had a lot of wind.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, it was, I mean, it's Santa Cruz. You think, hey, California, it's going to be great. And there were times where it was really nice. It was really odd. It was like the mornings, it would be kind of partly cloudy and looking nice. And then the weather would come late in the day. And it was just like Saturday was miserable. It was so cold and wet. Like you could tell it was really affecting people a lot, but the people it did not affect were Garrett Gerthy and Katrina Allen. Third in a row for Katrina Allen, and bigger story, no offense to Kat, Garrett Gerthy winning his first NT. This is his 16th season as a pro.
Yeah. And not his only first NT. Winning it by a couple strokes, by six strokes.
And he laid up at the end.
Yes. I am honestly speechless. I've found some words in the past few days, but I was telling you right before we aired that I played my own event on Sunday, and so I wasn't tracking UDisc scores. And when I saw the results and saw that he won, I was just like pretty speechless. I was like, what? He was not on my radar at all to win this kind of event.
No, not at all. I mean, you think De La and you think finesse player.
Yep.
You don't necessarily think a guy who can throw a mile.
Yeah.
But the best part of that was both him and Simon Lazat, 1 and 2.
I know.
Two of the longest throwing players in the game, absolutely played clean at De La and were able to get through it all. I think, and I'll be the first to admit, like you said, that you were surprised by him winning. This is going to sound disrespectful, but this is no disrespect to Garrett. I did not expect him to pull it off on Sunday. I mean, I know we were going to the golf course and there were... I mean, that you get through De La with a one-shot lead and go to the golf course and you're a guy like Garrett Gerthy and you're probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
But you had Eagle and Simon two shots behind. And to me, those guys are more experienced in that position in that moment. And, you know, that's not to discredit Matt Bell, but Matt Bell was one shot behind and he really just had a lot of trouble on Sunday, unfortunately. But I did not, you know, I expected the nerves to get to Garrett Gerthy. And I saw him out wandering in the parking lot on Sunday morning. He went to drop off Jessica Weiss. And then he was in the parking lot. And then he was going to walk the course a little bit.
Yeah.
So he was there getting prepared. But he still looked a little tight to me, I thought. And then he comes out and throws this insane roller on the first hole, gets a solo birdie, and pedal to the metal, pulls away. Just super dominant.
Yeah,
he on Sunday.
From what I could see on the footage, he just seemed super confident and kind of like calm, cool, and collected. And that's kind of how I view him as a player anyway.
Right.
Like, he just seems very even-keeled and kind of rolls with the punches. And it's not like he had a super clean round. He had one bogey during round three. But, I mean, those are some tough...
I think he had two bogeys the whole weekend.
Yeah. But those are some tough conditions, and I just remember him from the footage just, like, continuing to smile and just like having a good time. And that's kind of how I view Garrett, is just like, he's a super serious player and obviously can play with the best of them, but he's also just kind of keeps his wits about him and just keeps, you know, being joyful on the course, which I think is really fun to watch.
And I agree. And I think that's the biggest thing. And that was probably the coolest part about all this, is you could tell just how excited everybody else was for him, because he has a lot of respect out there from fellow players, just for his work ethic, his mentality, and just his general like positive nature, like,
and his seniority. I mean, he's been around for so long.
Yep. Yeah. But I mean, for him to go out there and win that event, people were stoked. You know, I talked to Jeremy Colling. He was super excited for him. You know, Paul Ulibarri, bunch of people like that. They were all just really, even Simon after the round was like, I'm so happy for Garrett.
Yeah.
That he pulled it off and took the win. And you know, Simon went down swinging for about the first half of the round. Second half, things kind of went off the rails. But, you know, and really though, if we want to look at this, Garrett Gerthy really won that tournament at De La. I mean, two out of three rounds up the hill at De La. And to be able to get out of there as unscathed as he did, you know, pretty phenomenal. I think the biggest thing was his putting the first couple rounds. You know, round one, he goes 83% circle one and then 43% circle two. He hit three from circle two there. And then round two, 80% circle one and 57% circle two putting. Wow. Now, I don't know if the U-Disc stat keeper was being a little generous or inflating the stats, but to average, you know, 50% circle two putting in two rounds at De La is huge. I mean, that takes away all those tree kicks and those shots where maybe you didn't park it or get in circle one, but man, if you have a look from circle two and you're draining them, that's pretty huge.
There are so many death putts on that course. And then put in rain and other, I mean, just like having your disc wet or your fingers wet and still going for those circle two putts and then making them is unreal. So that was really cool. Yeah. He looked super confident on the putting green. I'm still kind of speechless. I'm just like, wow. I think his sonic really, he talks a lot about his sonic game, how he throws it from like 100 to 200 feet and it never really goes anywhere else than he wants. Like it just lands softly under the basket, and that's kind of his goal. And he probably got some crap for throwing that disc like a while ago, but now I'm sure there's some people that are buying that. I'm even thinking of it. I'm like, man, I'm really good at throwing an ultimate frisbee. This would probably be pretty beneficial for me as well.
I had the option earlier this year at the ice ball tournament I played of a few different discs, and a sonic was one of them. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've never thrown one. Let's try it.
Yeah.
It's super straight. It's, you know, you have to finesse it and you have to be clean with it. But I think that's the biggest thing is, and that was probably the best thing that Garrett Gerthy said to me this weekend. It was after round one, and he goes 11 down.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, people don't know me as a finesse player, so here's a little finesse for you. And he said he was throwing rocks and sonics and stuff like that, and just low speed, clean. And the other thing to think about is that he is from Florida, and Florida is not without its wooded courses.
True. Yeah. And there's a lot of, Florida's got a lot of those big live oaks with the exposed roots. And
exactly.
A lot of the terrain actually does, now that I think about it, seem a little bit similar to De La Vega.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's do this, Sarah. We weren't able to wrangle Garrett for the show this week. He's traveling to Oregon and he's too popular. But I'm going to go ahead and drop in our post-round interview with him. This was me and Jamie Thomas. We were interviewing him on Sunday. And I think it's cool to get his perspective, like, right in the moment.
Yeah.
From all that stuff. And then, so let's play that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more Masters Cup. So here's Garrett Gerthy on Sunday here on PDJ Radio. Garrett, first career PDJ National Tour win, man. Congratulations. What kind of emotions are going on right now?
Man, I'm kind of speechless, you know, with the amount of time it's taken to get here and put everything together in one tournament, it's finally just still, I can't even believe that I won my first national tour this weekend. And, you know, with, I wouldn't say the lack of practice, but the amount of resting I took this week, I only got to play 4 holes at Day Law, and I didn't even come out here and play to stay thirsty. And not many people like to set up their game plans this way, but I've been practicing at all these other tournaments and felt like I've exerted a lot of energy, so I kind of nestled into the hotel and stayed loose the whole weekend, made sure I got my putting practice in, and it paid off. So I'm super excited right now.
Let's talk about the putting a little bit, because that was a big thing. I know going into the round, you were averaging like 50% from circle two. I don't know exactly what it was today, but in the past, we've talked a little bit, that's kind of been your bugaboo sometimes. So what's it mean to you to be able to do this with the putting?
It just goes to show that you can be conservative and still get some wins out there, because I was definitely on the conservative mode this week, and I made, I want to say, 2 bogeys all weekend, one stuck in the tree, kind of unfortunate, but for the most part, I just stuck to my game plan and executed it as well as I could.
You weren't exactly conservative on hole 9. Take me back to that one.
Hole 9, you're going to have to help me.
515-foot downhill.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went around the outside because I didn't want to come in too early and go out of bounds. I knew if I was out right, I'd at least be in the bunker. And I got a nice flare skip off that one and right to the basket and picked up one while Simon went in the hazard.
Now, you were going up against guys like Simon and Eagle today. You know, what kind of mentality did you need? Those guys have a lot of experience in these situations.
I pretty much just tried to stay calm out there. I've been there plenty of times. I played with Climo, McRae, and had the same pressure growing up. You know, these guys are just the new era of it. So I'm excited to be playing with these guys. Their raw talent is just amazing, and I'm glad that I still got the talent to win these NTs.
Now, take me back to, like, 2004. You first collect cash as a pro. And, you know, what would you tell 2004 Garrett Gerthy right now?
I should have played a whole lot smarter. I learned how to throw some discs with some distance, and from there I just went for everything. I really look up to Nate Sexton a lot whenever it's coming to how he plays the course and the tournaments, and he's always at the top, and I really enjoy watching Nate Sexton, and I've learned a lot from him over the year of touring, so big shout out to Nate. Appreciate you, Nate.
What's it been like getting back on the scene now? I mean, you were out for a while, and you come back and you made a couple big splashes last year, and now finally this one. Was it just kind of a slow burn for you?
Actually, it's been really busy. You know, I was super excited to get back out, and ever since I've been back out playing, I've been pretty much, you know, been 1 or 2 days without playing disc golf for the past 2 years. So we haven't gone too far away from our game plan, and I'm pretty excited to be here at the Masters.
$5,000 payout. Got any plans for that?
At the end of the year, I'm going to Disney World with my niece and Jessica.
Go ahead, man. You may be the man that we didn't know we needed back in the game. After an absence, does this victory mean so much more to you than the, we'll say, GG 1.0 era?
Of course. I feel like I have a lot to prove back home. I've had some unfortunate circumstances, but I'm out here grinding it and trying to prove to the people back home that this is what I do for a living, and I'm proud to play disc golf. And this has been my passion for years and since I was a kid, so this is what I'm going to stick to, and I'll be playing disc golf for the rest of my life.
I know you're too nice to beat me up if I ask you this question, but most people would come out and say, wide open golf course, you can throw the shot, can you make the putt? Was there something special in the tank today? Was there anything you told yourself? You came out firing on the putting green.
I had some inspiration. I got a text message from Josh Anthon last night, and he said, just focus on you and the shot in front of you. So each hole, I promise, I said it to myself, focus on you and the shot in front of you. So Josh Anthon gave me some words of encouragement before the round to kind of help me. He's a fantastic putter, so owe a lot of credit to you, Josh. Thank you.
Where do you see yourself amongst all the greats in this game? You've proven it. You're on the national tour stage. You're on that register forever. Where do you see yourself now?
I'm going to be here forever, so it doesn't really matter. I'm here to make sure other people play disc golf and make sure they know it's fun, and on or off the course that you can have a good time, regardless if you shoot a bad score. So I definitely want to make sure people try to inspire others and not with attitude. So we try to stay positive out on the course.
All right. Really cool to talk to Garrett right after the first big win. Interesting to hear that, like, he's shouting out Nate Sexton for inspiring him as a conservative player. Interesting to hear that Josh Anthon was, like, texting him the night before. Josh Anthon, my top five pick,
yeah, what
who
happened?
I have a little bit of beef with because he DNF'd.
What happened?
I don't know. He came in with a 2-under in round one and
do you think that's why?
Then was like, see you later. I don't know. He didn't tell Tournament Central. He didn't tell the staff why.
Oh.
He was just like, hey, I'm not going to be. You know, he lives close by. It could have been a thing where it was just like, you know, rough first round. Weather's going to be crappy the rest of the tournament. Lives close by. Go sleep in my bed tonight. I don't know.
Maybe. Peter McBride.
I can't exactly
also,
knock him for that.
Yeah. Peter McBride also DNF'd. I heard that he injured him, like he rolled an ankle or something.
Oh, I don't know. I saw that after the fact and didn't get to catch up. He was, yeah, because I mean, I talked to him Friday. So he DNF'd after Saturday's round when it was super sloppy, probably.
Yeah. He only got one round in.
Yeah, that's a bummer. And then I think Brianna Ainslie DNF'd as well. She's been dealing with a like an elbow /
no,
forearm.
No, so crazy story.
Or it's a shoulder thing. She like slept on
no,
it funny and got pinched nerves. Yeah, it's crazy.
She posted this story or she posted this video about how she, yeah, like slept on her. I wish you could see. I wish our listeners could see me right now. But like slept on her wrist.
Oh, I've done that 1,000 times.
And she woke up and she said she literally could not pick her hand up. And she's seen, she went to Seth at Disc Golf Strong, and I think, I believe she went to a physical therapist, and has just been trying to rehab it, but I guess she was throwing all forehand the first two rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously she shot way below her rating, but I commend her for even trying, like, on those courses and those
conditions. Oh, of course.
Wow. Good job. She's a friend of mine. Yeah. I'm been supporting her along the way, but it's just too bad that she's
yeah, I'm bummed she wasn't able to make it the whole way.
One of my picks also did not play Vanessa Van Dyken.
Yeah, man. I don't even think she started.
Yeah, no, she didn't. She dropped out before the event.
That's a bummer. Is it her shoulder?
I didn't get to catch up with her, but I think it was her shoulder. That's what she was doing.
That's a bummer.
San Francisco Open. So
So we've talked a bit about Garrett Gerthy. Let's talk about some of the other players and action, Sarah, on the MPO side before we jump to the FPO side. Yeah. Biggest surprises for me, Ricky Wysocki and Paul McBeth. I mean, they're both on the lead card round two, and Ricky shoots even and Paul shoots one over.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was raining. I know the conditions were bad, but man, was not expecting that.
No, I don't. I feel like Paul was just getting a little bit too aggressive, maybe. But there's just so much luck on that course and so much ground play that.
But he like owns that course for the ground play. Like he knows the ground play there, like the back of his hand. That's why I was surprised.
Yeah. I don't know. That was pretty surprising to me as well. And then Eagle, the course that we assume he should have played pretty well on, the golf course, he had a really rough round. That was like,
man, I don't know what was going on with him other than like he was leaving the like a couple of his forehand approaches he was really soft on and like leaving the flight plate kind of exposed and just not getting enough juice on it. Ended up on the green a couple times and in the hazard and just really like he I was like whole. Like 7 or 8. I think it was maybe hole 8. And he was just yelling at himself. He's like, wake up, dude. Like he was, or no, it wasn't wake up. He said, get out of bed. That's what he said. He said, get out of bed, dude. Yeah. Like he was like scolding himself. He just, I was pretty surprised by that. And I think it just goes to show like the expectations we have for these players, like that they are human, even though oftentimes they put out superhuman performances. Mm-hmm. Speaking of superhuman performances, Eric Oakley, 1080 rated final round, highest round of his career.
That's amazing.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Taking the top five slot, bogey free, 100% scramble, 100% circle one, and like had a couple bids from circle two, but really most of it was just he was in circle one 56% of his holes and circle two 89%. Very strong showing from him. Really like to see Matt Orem playing well over at Delos. Struggled a bit on Sunday at the golf course. Yeah. I saw someone pointed out on... Oh, this is a point of clarification that I want to bring up. This is a good segue. So I saw someone on Reddit posted like the link to the Parsave Productions video where at the end of the round, everyone's tapping out, Matt Orem's done, and he took his putter and like chucked it into the pond.
Okay.
And someone was... People were talking about if that would be considered an extra stroke or anything like that. Sean and I actually looked this up after round one of GBO, I think. It was when AJ Risley was on the feature card.
Wait, what event was this that he did this?
This is, well, Matt Orem. Yes. This is like Sunday at the golf course in Santa Cruz. Sunday at the golf course in Santa Cruz. After the round's over, like someone else is, like everyone's putting out and he puts out, takes his putter and chucks it into the pond.
No, he's already put it out.
Well, exactly. So yeah, the thing is everyone, well, here's the thing. People have been debating, and this is even, and this isn't just people on Reddit, listener of the program and very good disc golfer, some guy named Paul Macbeth even asked us about this at GBO because it was the day that they had AJ Risley, I think, on the feature card, round one. He really struggled. And after they all putted out, he went down to where he had just missed a putt and was doing a couple extra putts people were tallying up their cards.
They do that all the time.
Well, and so the confusion here is that some people think that the round doesn't end until the cards are turned in. That is not correct.
No.
The round ends when your round ends when you have holed out from the last
time.
So just for point of clarification for people who might not know, you're done after you've
put it out. For instance,
I mean, now you could get stroked by like the TD or something in that case if you're being an idiot.
Yeah, and like interfering with other cards playing or something.
But. Right, but that frustration from Matt Orem, someone was like, "Oh, they could stroke him for littering." I mean, I guess sure, yes. Or
that was the one thing I thought you were when you started delving into the story. That was what I thought you were going to talk about. Like,
I mean, look, it's not an ideal way to deal with your frustration.
You
but the point I was trying to make is that you tapped out on 18.
You're done.
Your round is over.
You know what you could do, though? Instead of littering, you could recycle and just hand your disc to a fan. Just give it to a if you're like, this disc did me dirty and I don't want to use it anymore.
Simon's done that with like his entire bag before.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No,
well,
I know.
Should recycle and just give it to another player because that person would probably really appreciate it.
I'll try I wasn't there in person. I just saw it on the video. But
okay, that's interesting. I had not seen that.
Throw green.
Yeah, throw green.
Big Throw Green initiative coming up soon. Yes. So anyway, some good performances out of the Masters Cup. Go watch them on Parsave Productions and Jomez Productions if you have not yet. And then on the women's side, you can check it all out on Central Coast Disc Golf. And let's talk about the women's side because Katrina Allen is just unstoppable right now. Like,
she's just on the level. Biggest.
Well, the thing I saw with her was at De La, like, she rarely missed the fairway. Like, and that's the biggest thing there. You've just got to be clean. She wasn't shanking any shots, she wasn't hitting any trees. She hit some really clean putts. But the biggest thing with her was just her driving is just so much more accurate and dependable.
Yeah. And then her putting just still looks super confident and super strong.
Yeah, I think she missed a couple on Sunday.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she got fourth in a 1x putts, circle one putts. So
yeah. Yeah, she two putted a couple times on the final round, but you know, again, it was another week in a row where she had the small lead and made it a very large lead by the end of it. So, it's like a broken record. Like she's playing at such a high level right now.
Yeah.
She, I think averaged 993 or 990. She averaged in the 990s for a second week in a row.
Wow.
That's silly.
It is silly.
And really cool that all three, Sarah Hokum and Paige Pierce all shot 10-10.
I know.
On Saturday. I think that's the first time ever that three women have broken 1,000 in the same
that's
round.
Amazing.
So pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So the biggest storyline for me was Paige. So Katrina left the door open a few times. Yeah. And I feel like, especially for Sarah Hokum, she had some looks from Circle 2 and was doing attempting a lot of reachable jump putts. And she's, as we've seen, really good at jump putting, but was just not able to connect. So it was kind of like Kat was, she was playing really well, but definitely there was, the door was cracked.
Early. Yeah. And she like shanked her approach shot on 7. Mm-hmm. And then I think she went like, she went double bogey. Yep. And then I kind of asked her about that. She's like, I just had to like get mad at myself and be like, knock it off.
Yeah. And then
don't play this.
Yeah.
Way.
So Sarah Hokum definitely had some opportunity that just, she could not, capitalize on. Paige Pierce kind of had a weird round. It's like she started off just putting too much pressure on herself again and was getting really aggressive and just took a lot of out of bounds strokes.
I mean, every day for Paige Pierce, it was get in trouble, hit a bunch of birdies, get in trouble, hit a bunch of birdies. And I mean, she did the same thing at both courses, both rounds, like late strings of birdies. Yep. But she just couldn't clean up the early mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you look at this course, or, you know, she was round one at De La, she had 4 OB throws. Granted, a couple of those are 2 meters, right? 2 meter rule, which we could probably spend an entire podcast yelling about, because I'm sure certain people don't like it. I'm ambivalent about it, but I understand why people don't like it. You know, that's 4 strokes right there at De La where there's barely any like proper OB. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And Paige Bjorkis, I feel like, played pretty well. She just couldn't capitalize on the crack door as well.
Well, she was coming from further back. Yeah. I was actually pretty impressed with her performance. Final round, bogey free. Not bad.
Yeah. Madison Walker making it into the top 5. Rebecca Cox was up in the mix again. Pretty cool.
Let's talk about Camille Squier.
Yeah. So,
I mean, she dropped down, ended up coming in 9th, but like, really cool to see someone new busting out for the league card on Saturday.
Yeah. So Camille and I met each other back in 2000, I want to say 12. We played collegiate golf together. So we met out.
Yeah. She was the 2015 individual champion in collegiate.
Yep. Yep. So, that was super cool, to watch her play. I think what I was so impressed with Camille is that, so she shot a 968 rated round. Mind you, she's 917 rated her first round, and then got on the lead card. And I think everyone assumed that she would get really nervous and not play as well. And yeah, she left some strokes out there. Again, the weather was terrible, but she shot a 944 rated round, her last round. And actually her worst round, unfortunately, was the final round of the golf course. But, I'm just super proud of her. Like, she totally represented as kind of a new face among all of the big time women that we talk about week to week.
Yeah, it was cool, and she was really just really friendly, and you could tell she was just pumped to put down that kind of performance. And you know, like you're saying, it's awesome to see a new face out there, and you know, it's a bummer that the golf course kind of bit her, but not super surprising. She's not the longest thrower. She scrambled really, really well at De La. But, you know, golf course kind of bit a lot of people. Sarah Hokum after the round was like, oh, I was feeling real good going into this. And then I got out here and remembered why I don't like the first part of the season, basically, because of all the golf courses. But that, I mean, that course really sets up pretty well for Sarah Hokum in terms of the shot shaping.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, what else did you see on the FPO side? I mean, we could talk about probably more Katrina Allen for days. No offense to everyone else. But at the same time, like, other really strong performances, Elaine King hanging around the whole weekend.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that she played really well at De La. Like,
not at all.
That's her type of course, just keep it in the middle. She's got great finesse. She's used to playing in the North Carolina woods.
Yep.
She lost a few strokes on the golf course, but still ended up in the top 10. So,
I mean, really not even that bad at the golf course. They're clearly just, the biggest difference, I think, was that the birdie opportunities weren't there for her as much as they were with someone like Madison or Rebecca Cox, who were able to jump up just because they can throw a little further.
Yeah, for sure.
But then you look at someone like Jennifer Allen and yeah. You know, I mean, granted, she came back up a couple strokes on Sunday, or a couple spots on leaderboard on Sunday. How about Erica Stinchcomb, man? Yeah. Second top 10 in a row for her too. Really cool to see her playing well.
Yeah, she was the lowest rated player in the top, like, well, she and Lauren Butler are actually rated the same, but in the top like 15 or 16.
Okay.
As well as Amy Lewis. Yeah, so she played way above her rating each round. So that was really cool to see as well.
You know, I think with her, it's probably a consistency thing. She doesn't get out to as many tournaments. I think she has a real job and a real life. And I say real, not like disc golf isn't a real job for people, but a full-time, proper, traditional
job.
Yeah. So, it was a good weekend. I wish the weather would have been a little more.
Yeah, sounds like it was a real damper at times. I mean, that rain was like pouring.
That's the thing, though. It wasn't like pouring like terrible. It was just consistent.
Steady. Yeah.
It was just a steady rain. Yeah. There were never like huge downpours, but it just never really stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's okay. It made for a fun weekend. I think it's really cool how much parity there is on the men's side this year. On the women's side, not quite as much, but I don't know. It's kind of cool to see. I like seeing Katrina kind of dominating. It's kind of fun. And her biggest thing is she was telling me after the round on Sunday that it was basically, you know, 2000, I think she said 2014 and 2016, really big years for her. She was going to the gym a lot.
Yeah.
And so this year, I mean, she literally went, won the tournament, and then after her round, went to the gym again. Like,
yeah.
Didn't go like party or celebrate. I mean, she may have done that later, but she left the course and went to the gym.
Yeah. We talked about that at Jonesboro, I think, when we played together, and we were just talking about both being into fitness and working out several days a week. And she was like, yeah, the thing that motivates me the most is not giving myself a choice and just going straight to the gym. Like, she doesn't even eat a meal. She just goes like straight from the disc golf course to the gym. And that way she knows, but she also, and this is the same for a lot of people, including myself, the more confident that you feel with yourself, it shows in all aspects of your life. And I think that's,
oh, for sure.
That's
for sure.
A huge confidence booster for her this year.
Speaking of confidence, talking to Paige Bierkus a little bit about confidence, she said that's her biggest thing right now is just trying to feel more and more confident. She's like, for the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, it's Cat and Paige. And she's like trying to work herself up in there. And then I had to like, I kind of reminded her a little bit that, well, and I reminded her, I was like, your name, you're Paige.
You are also Paige.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think, having performances like that is really good for her.
Yeah.
And it put her into second place in the NT standings. I want to kind of go over the NT leaderboard real quick. The top, you know, we'll do top, we'll go 10 to 1. Lisa Fakus, Zoe Andyke, Rebecca Cox, Madison Walker, Jessica Weiss are from 10 to 6. And then your top five on the women's side goes Sarah Hokum with 255.33 points and Jennifer Allen with 255.5.
Ooh,
literally
super close.
17 hundredths of a point better. Paige Pierce in third on the leaderboard with 265. Paige Bierkus up in second with 272 and a third. And then that gives us Katrina Allen with the GBO and Masters Cup victories and a second place at the Las Vegas Challenge. She has 295 points in the NT series, which on the women's side, I'm trying to look up the bonus. The bonus for the season-long bonus at the end is $2,500. On the men's side, the winner gets an extra $6,000. And on the men's side, I think is where it's even a little more interesting because you have Calvin Heimberg at the top of the NT point standings. If you would have told me a couple months ago that Calvin Heimberg was going to be first in the NT point standings, I would have been like, all right, maybe like top five, but not number one.
Hmm.
He's only up by 2 1/3 points over Eagle McMahon. Ricky Wysocki's in third, Paul McBeth fourth, Kevin Jones fifth. Then it goes Nate Sexton, Andrew Presnell, Simon Lazat, Kale Laviska, and Thomas Gilbert and Austin Hannum rounding out the top 10 awesome. Tied there. You can go to pdj.com/national-tour and look up the standings there and keep track of it. We are halfway through the NT season now. So pretty cool. It's nice to see Calvin up there giving these guys a run for their money.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's cool. Hey, while you're going over points, let me go over our
picks. Oh, yeah, the picks points.
Okay, let's see here. So you got 2 points for Kat. I got 0 for Paige Pierce. You got 0 for Macbeth taking the win. I got 0 for Wysocki.
We did great this weekend.
I know. You got 1 for Madison Walker getting top 5. 0 for Anthon, who DNF'd. I got 0 for Vanessa, who DNF'd. Or didn't start, dropped out. And 0 for Sexton. So basically, I got 0 and you got 3.
Boom. And
the tally is now you with 23 points and me with 22. It is a close race.
Yes, it is. That's good. I like that it's close.
Me too.
All right, Sarah, let's take a break. And we are going to talk to Dan Hastings, who put in the best day of disc golf ever over the weekend. And then after we talk to Dan, we'll go over the hot rounds, look at the Portland Open coming up this weekend, and close out the show. So we'll be back in just a minute here on PDGA Radio. So while everyone, you know, Garrett Gerthy, Katrina Allen, everyone was over on the West Coast, there was someone over on the East Coast trying to steal their thunder. And that person is joining us now on PDGA Radio. Welcome, Dan Hastings. Dan, how's it going, man?
It's going good, going good. Still kind of in a little bit of a shock from the weekend, but back into the normal swing of the work week, and happy to be here.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for joining us. Let's, for those people who are maybe listening to the show and are wondering why Dan is coming on, Dan shot an 11-11 and 10-90 rated rounds on Saturday at the, what was it called? It was the 19th annual Tar Heel tournament out in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He ended up winning the tournament by, gosh, did you win the tournament by 23 strokes?
It was. It ended up being 23.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
So basically, we have determined that Dan's Saturday was basically the single best day of disc golf ever recorded in PDGA history. So Dan, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
What did you eat for breakfast that morning? That's what we all need to know.
Yes.
Well, it was a Saturday, and Saturday tournaments in North Carolina are none other than Chick-fil-A breakfast. Come on.
I knew it.
Do you go, was it the chicken minis?
No, I go the chicken egg and cheese on a bagel.
Ooh, oh, all right. Breakfast of champions. I'm going to have to hit that up next time I'm out that way. So, I mean, on a more serious note, you know, you're 10-17 rated guy from the East Coast, but kind of give us your disc golf origin story. Let us know, you know, what's your background in the sport for people who maybe don't know you.
Well, I started in high school. My dad got us playing. Like, we would always go to the beach, play with the beach lids, throw them for our dogs and everything like that. And there's actually this wooded course right around the corner from our house at Basil Morella Park in Rochester, New York. And he wanted us to go out and play one day, me and my older brothers. So we went out. We started playing with literally, they were chewed up dog frisbees.
Nice.
And even with that, like, we were all hooked. That afternoon, we went out and bought, you know, your typical starter packs, and from there, it just took off.
You probably don't remember this, but I met you at the 2010 Worlds. You were warming up with Bobby Jones. You probably met a ton of people in Ohio.
The Ohio Worlds, okay.
Yep. And you must have been a teenager then, I think.
Yeah, I was still playing juniors. That was my last junior Worlds.
Okay, yeah. I think I don't remember what course we met you at, but so how did you end up in from New York down to North Carolina?
Well, I was living in Rochester for a while, and then my wife was in chiropractic school in Buffalo. So 4 years prior to moving to North Carolina, we were in Buffalo. Then when she finished chiropractic school, we knew we wanted to go south. The charter school that I worked for, the company that runs that charter is out of Michigan. But they had schools down in North Carolina, so I was able to just make a lateral transfer down here. And it was kind of the ideal environment we've been looking for, just the weather, and everything's been lovely for the last 2 years. So
awesome. So going back to your experience this past weekend at the tournament, can you tell us a little bit about this course? First of all, what course was it, and how did it suit your game so well?
This is the course right on the UNC Chapel Hill campus. This year they lost holes 1 and 2. There's some sort of construction going on with the pond that was on hole 1. So they had to take 1 and 2 out, and they added 2 new holes, which were 19 and 20. And then 1 and 2, I guess hole 2 used to be part of the course, not since I've been down here, but back in the day it was part of the course. And then they added hole 1, which is basically like a little jump putt or soft putter shot downhill. So it's a 20-hole course, and I was kind of going through it in my head too, because I was asking myself the same question, like, why was this the course? And I never do well on the deuce or die courses. And looking back at the course, we were talking, and 10 down is a round where you leave really, really happy. So that was kind of the target for the weekend. It's like, hey, I want to shoot, you know, low 50s every round. And because it's every hole is two-able except for one of the really true par fours. Like, I don't play it for the two. But it's also one of those courses where if you get too aggressive, any hole could be a 4 or 5. So it really was never a, hey, I'm going to go shoot 20 down in this course. But it just, once things started going and my putter started getting hot, it was, yeah, I'm going to birdie every single hole in this course.
So you literally shot 20 down.
I shot 20 under par in a 20-hole course.
Boom.
Wow.
Paul Macbeth, eat your heart out.
Yeah. So it was one par and one. So you eagled that par 4.
There was a hole 20. They have it a par 4 just the way the fairway bends and then kind of goes uphill back into these rocks that are under a pretty heavy canopy. But the way I play it, like, I do kind of cut the corner going over the out of bounds, going for the 2. It's a softer par 4. But yeah, I one par was hole 9. And then I eagled hole 20.
Wow. Eagled the okay.
Like the cherry on top.
Yeah. I saw, I can't remember if it was what you posted or if somebody else posted, but I mean, you were just, it looked like you were just draining putts. Was that really the secret sauce, if you will? Were you just, could you just not miss?
Yeah, that's one of those things. Putting has always been the best part of my game. It's been what I lean on for my good rounds. Hole 1, I hit a solid little tester. It was like a 25 footer. And then hole 2, I had like a 35 to 40 foot death putt where if you miss, there's no way the disc isn't landing out of bounds. I hit that one. And then I didn't realize that one of my friends snuck behind me on hole 3. And I think that's the one that is going around. It was like a 60-footer on hole 3 that I hit it dead center. And it was one of those ones where it's like, hey, my putter is on fire right now. So I didn't care where my drive landed. Me, I was going to make the putt.
That's incredible.
Yeah. What
should I put in my bag?
The Photon Glow CT Challengers.
There we go. Nice,
you heard
man.
Here first.
Yeah. So, gosh, I'm looking at some of your previous, your previous stats. Your previous career high rating came back in 2015. It was 1068 at the Vibram Open. But have you really processed all of this yet? That you've put this all down, or is it just kind of? Is it just a little crazy still for you to comprehend?
It's still crazy. I was actually talking to my brother this morning, and I'm just like, it's one of those things where I'm waiting for my alarm to go off, and I wake up. You hear about all these, you know, I shouldn't say all these, but you hear about the 1100 rated rounds and stuff like that, where I never thought, oh yeah, I'm gonna be someone that's shooting 1100 rated rounds. It just didn't it never seemed like something that was realistic for me. It's like that fantasy land where, what's your disc golf dream? It's like, oh, I'm going to put up an 1100 rated round. so it hasn't really set in. It still doesn't feel right yet.
So what has the response been to your achievement across the country from other people in the disc golf community?
Just a lot of love, like people just reaching out like, hey, you know, back when I was playing with you in juniors, I knew you would do something great like this. Or, hey, I'm so happy that you're excelling on new courses. You know, you're excelling with the new discs already. It's just been a lot of people saying, hey, I knew you were capable of this, and I'm really happy that you went out and did it.
Is this your first year throwing disc wrapped?
Yeah, I made the switch this January.
Awesome.
I'm looking back at some of your other stuff that you've done, and some of your bigger, like we mentioned, your biggest career showing was at the Vibram Open. You know, after something like this and knowing how you've played there, have you ever considered doing the full time, you know, get on the road and tour thing, or is that just not in the cards for you?
It's something that when I was in college, I considered it. It was one of those things. It's just, I don't feel like it's realistic for where I am right now. I love teaching. So no, I don't see myself like teaching sets me up for every weekend that I want to play, going out to a few of the bigger events in the summer. So just, it allows me to have disc golf as more of a part-time thing that I enjoy rather than turning it into a job.
What grade and subjects do you teach?
I teach middle school math.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Are you, do you go all 6, 7, 8, or do you have a single grade level?
I'm just seventh grade right now.
Okay.
So you're at that fun time of the year where like they've changed into just complete like hormonal maniacs, right? I used to teach middle school. I remember this time of year. It wasn't super pleasant.
Yeah, this time of year is tough, especially with all the EOG testing, all those state tests coming up. It's a stressful time of year, but we have 11 days left. Not that I'm counting, but
so do your students know about how big your passion for disc golf is? Do you share it with them in any way?
Yeah, not too many of them have a big interest in it, but last year, like my first year teaching at this school, you know how the kids will just they'll Google you. So they pulled up, they're like, hey, what's this? You know, so they'll pull it up during homeroom or during electives and stuff like that and talk about it. A couple of them, you know, get out and play at some of the local courses. I got the PE teacher a basket and a bunch of discs last year.
Yeah, there you go.
So he usually breaks that out around this time of year.
Not the worst thing to come up in a Google search about a teacher.
No, it's not. Yeah.
All right, Dan, before we go, what we like to do with first timers on PDGA Radio is put them through the lightning round. I'm just going to ask you some quick questions. Give me the first answer that pops to your head. Does that sound good?
All right.
All right, man, let's do it. What is your favorite course?
Blarney Stone in Newfane, New York.
All right. And what is the most difficult course you've ever played?
Yetter at Tyler State Park in the Philly area.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, nice. All right. Well, I know you haven't hit up the touring circuit or anything, but if you're heading out on the road for a tournament over the weekend or there's a tournament that you're going to every year, what's one that you look forward to for the food? What's the best food out there?
Ooh, I think right now it's going back home. Anytime I get a chance to go back to New York, I didn't realize how much I was going to miss pizza and delis, but making the move down here.
I believe it, man. I believe it. All right. If you were going to play or watch any sport besides disc golf, what would it be?
Basketball.
Are you into the playoffs right now?
I'm a Celtics fan, so I checked out last week.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. All right. Pick any superpower that you would like to have.
Being able to fly.
There we go. That's a good one.
That would really help me. That's our top answer.
Yeah, it makes the most sense.
It would help me get to a lot of the events that I need to get back for on Monday to teach, you know?
Exactly, right? All right. What would you be doing if you weren't a teacher?
I think either personal trainer or some sort of chiropractor or something working with the body.
Okay. All right. One person you would want to have dinner with, dead or alive?
He's going to love me for this. Philip Bartholomew.
Second place.
The guy you just beat this weekend?
Yeah, he's actually living with us right now, so he'll be home in probably about 25 minutes, and that's who I'll have dinner with tonight.
Perfect.
Love it. Love it. All right, you're trapped on a desert island, and you can only watch one movie again for the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Ooh, I don't have one that comes to mind on that one. Man, that's a stumper. I don't know.
You can get back to us.
I only got one more question, though. There's only one more question after this. That's okay. We'll let you off the hook on this one. All right, the last one's the easy one. Cats or dogs?
Oh, I got my two dogs and my cat right here Uh-oh. Looking at me. But,
Uh-oh.
Earmuffs for one of them.
The two dogs are awake, so I'll go with the dogs.
Yeah, they outnumber. They outnumber.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have two Great Dane Lab mixes.
Oh, I bet they're adorable.
Big doggies. Big doggies. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, Dan, we appreciate you coming on and taking some time out.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so
cute puppies.
Oh.
Dan is, for people who are listening to this and can't see the video, Dan is showing us his very adorable dogs. Thank you for coming on, Dan. I'm sure it's been a little bit of a whirlwind since the weekend, and we appreciate the time.
I appreciate you guys having me. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. No problem. That was Dan Hastings, and we'll be back in just a moment on PDJ Radio.
And we're back. That was an awesome interview with Dan. I didn't expect that he would remember me from like 9 years ago, but it's pretty cool that I saw him play as a junior and now he's...
You think he really remembers you or you think he was just saying that?
No,
just
he said...
Not make you feel bad?
No, I don't think he even commented like yes or no, which means he doesn't remember me. And I'm saying I'm not surprised that he doesn't remember me. It was like...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, but it's pretty cool. I'm saying it's pretty cool that I watched him play as a junior.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now he experienced the best single day of disc golf in the whole world, in the whole history of disc golf.
It's pretty impressive. Like when you just, like he said, it's one of those dream disc golf days, you know? So
yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We got some hot rounds. I'm figuring he's probably going to be on there, but let's start on the women's side first, Sarah. What do we got?
All right. On the women's side, most of them came from the Masters Cup. The fifth hottest rated round was a tie between Rebecca Cox, who played the Masters Cup, and Kristen Tatar. We'll start with Rebecca first. They both shot 983. Rebecca shot that her second round, and she ended up in sixth place. And Kristen Tatar played I have no idea how to pronounce this.
I'm going to say Kokodal.
Kokodal Open in Denmark.
That was in Denmark.
Yeah. So she played that. She is just killing it this year. She won that event by 18 strokes.
Yeah, she is undefeated this year and has shot every round this year above her rating.
That's amazing. So she shot that 983, her second round, and went on to win that event. Congratulations. It's super cool.
Yeah.
The fourth hottest rated round was my friend Ellen Widboom.
I was wondering where Ellen was.
Yeah, she was here in Nashville last week. Her brother just moved to Franklin, a suburb south of Nashville. So she was staying with him for a little while. And we got to play around together last week. And then she headed over to South Carolina in my former neck of the woods and played some courses that are near and dear to my heart. She played the Huck Central event in Central South Carolina, and she shot a 990 rated.
It's pretty
fourth
solid.
Round. Yeah.
I wonder where that ranks for her career wise.
I want to say
I'm willing to bet that's her best career round.
I think she told me it's her best rated round. Yeah. She won that event by 21 strokes.
Dang.
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah. Cunningham.
Confirmed best round ever. Her highest. Yeah. She had twice shot 979.
Yeah. And shout out to Todd Lyon, who was the assistant TD, also
PGA whatever employee. Todd. I'm just kidding, I love Todd.
Anyway, we get off track here. The next hottest rated round was just one stroke better than that. Madison Walker shot a 991. during her third round at Masters Cup, and she ended up in solo fifth.
Yeah, good recovery from Madison. She struggled round one a bit.
Yeah, definitely. Paige Bjorkis, also Masters Cup. She shot a 999 rated. Oh, hope that gets up to 1,000. Third round, and she finished in a three-way tie for second place. And then, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we had three women tie for the hottest rated round at 10-10, all shooting that during round two at the Masters Cup, and that was Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen, and Sarah Hocum.
First time ever.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah. And Kat actually should have been, Katrina should have been on the hot rounds or twice. She also had a 991.
Yep.
So,
wow, they just keep getting hotter. It's crazy.
Yep, it's everyone's getting better. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, on the men's side, Mr. Garrett Gerthy with his 1072 rated, I'm guessing that was his second round. Let me double check. Actually, that might have been his opening round. No, it was his third round. Gosh, he played so well the whole weekend. I was totally off. 1072 rated final round. He won the Masters Cup. Obviously, we've talked about that quite a bit. Good job, Garrett. Chris Dickerson over at that Huck Central, he shot a 1079 rated opening round to win that tournament. Eric Oakley's 1080 rated final round put him up to fifth place at the Masters Cup. Ricky Wysocki shot a 1081 rated opening round and then kind of struggled a bit in the second round with a 1010, rebounded with a 1040 final round to move up into third place. And our hottest rated rounds, plural, were from the man we interviewed earlier today, Dan Hastings, 11-11 and 10-90 at the 19th annual Tar Heel Tournament presented by Brick's Pizza.
Yes. What a great sponsor. I was going to comment on that before.
Brick's Pizza?
Yeah.
Is it like brick fired, oven fired pizza?
I'm sure. I mean, just having a pizza sponsor in general is pretty baller.
That's true. So congrats, Dan. Thanks again. And congratulations. Incredible weekend for him.
Yeah.
Speaking of an incredible weekend, Sarah, let's hope it's going to be one. It's Memorial Day weekend, 3-day weekend, and all three of those days, if you are a fan of disc golf, can be full of them because the Portland Open is going to be making its debut on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. It is going to run Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to end on Memorial Day, up in Portland, Oregon, playing at Blue Lake, which has not been used in a big, national spotlight tournament since 2014 Worlds. That is where Ricky and Paul had their epic playoff duel. And unfortunately, we won't be getting a repeat of that because Paul McBeth's not playing.
No
epic playoff
back
duel,
in Virginia.
At least between those two.
Yeah.
So, but I'm excited to see what's in store at the Portland Open this weekend. Blue Lake, I am not very familiar with it. I know it from that 2014 Worlds coverage, but Portland rolls out the red carpet for disc golf. We get huge galleries at the Beaver State Fling every year. And I anticipate probably more of that this weekend at Blue Lake. So, Sarah, what do you know about Blue Lake as a course?
I don't know much. I've never been out to that area, but I do know that it is long, flat, and wide open with lots.
Yeah, we're over 10,000 feet.
Yeah. It's a par 69. There are, it looks like, three par fives.
Now, let's caveat this with we're looking at the photo on the Portland Open website that
it looks like the course map that's like on the
just kiosk. It looks like a picture of the course map. We couldn't find caddy book info quite yet. We looked around and it wasn't available. So hopefully it will be available. But yeah, it's a beast of a course. Yeah. I got a buddy who goes up to Portland and plays a lot, and he just loses frisbees every time he goes to this course. I think off the fairway it can be a little bit rough. Yeah. So keep it on those fairways this weekend.
It looks like lots of dog legs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Obviously going to be one for the big arms, I would expect. Yeah. And, you know, if it's staked OBs, you got to have the big arm and you've got to have the accuracy, which, mm-hmm. I mean, kind of a rinse and repeat thing, right? We're not in right now, at least earlier in the season, it's we've got these more open spots that are, you got to be able to throw far and keep it in bounds. There's not a lot of, there aren't a lot of these courses until really later in the year that really play well for the, you know, maybe not the high powered guys, but maybe the more finesse players.
Yeah.
So, either way though, you know, pretty stacked field for this one. And just nice to have another showing on the Pro Tour. We will see what's going on there this weekend. You can watch it live. It will be, excuse me, on the, you know, Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel. And I think it's going on the DGPT.TV thing again. But really the easiest way is to watch it on YouTube. Smashbox will be at the controls. And then you've got post-production up the wazoo for this one. You've got Jomez on lead, Central Coast on chase, and I believe Parsave on, I'm guessing FPO is what that would be. Unless Jomez is doing both MPO and FPO, but I doubt it. Either way, there'll be plenty of post-production, plenty of live coverage. You can get whatever you want from this event. And it should be fun. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, me too.
So, should we, I wish we had a little bit more insight to go on with this one, Sarah. I do know that the cool part is this one is being run by Jeff Spring, and he has teamed up with Dustin Keegan and Zoe Andyke. They're helping out with that one.
Awesome.
And they're kind of trying to follow the Green Mountain Championship model, where they have a little bit of a kind of a festival, you know, music, beer gardens type vibe. So if you're in Portland, go check it out. You got the extra day on Monday to go and keep an eye on it. That should be fun. So should we do some picks, Sarah?
We should do some picks.
Let's do some picks. I think you get to go first this week.
I do. All right. I don't know how often this has worked in my favor. I should probably keep track of this. But I feel like I pick a lot of people based on them wanting redemption from the previous weekend, like maybe not having as strong of a showing as they should have. And I tend to use that as like, instead of not choosing them because they don't look confident or had a bad weekend, I tend to choose them because I think that they're going to be a little salty.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do better. So in that respect, I'm going to pick Eagle to win. I think he's going to be pretty fired up after that last round. At Santa Cruz, and I think he'll get this one.
All right, you want to talk redemption, Sarah, then I got the ultimate redemption play, Ricky Wysocki.
Yeah, I was considering I'll take one him. Too. Okay. All right, I'm going to switch. Let's just go top five. Let's see. Well, we talked about Calvin Heimberg. He's still putting himself in contention. If it's a long open course, I think he will do pretty well. So I'm going to go Heimberg.
I like that pick. Calvin Heimberg is a strong, strong player. And you took my top five choice, but that's okay. I think, I'm going to go local on this one, and I'm going to take, Scott Withers.
Okay.
He plays pretty well. Beaver State Fling. He should know these courses just fine. He's 1036 rated. And I think he's got a strong showing in him this weekend. Let's go Scott Withers.
Cool.
Top five.
I like it. Switching over to the women's side. I mean, I can't not. I'm going to pick Katrina.
Oh, yeah. You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah.
Usually it's like if you're picking Kat, I'm picking Paige. And that's not how it's going to be this week for me. I'm going to go Sarah Hokum, I think. I know it's a long bomber course, but
lots of OB though, and she's super accurate.
And she can handle the long bomber courses when, you know, and I think you get into some more woods and things like that and she'll be all right. I am a little surprised to see that Paige Bierkus is
I just noticed that.
Currently signed up because she would have been my pick.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can just have Paige for top five now. You need the points.
That actually wasn't my choice.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
I've been liking what Rebecca Cox has been putting down.
Yeah, me too.
And she's been playing really well and just climbing up the leaderboard at these events. So I'm going to go with Rebecca.
All right, then I will take Paige Pierce for top five. Hey, it's good to see some other. It's funny. Like I hope we can get to the point where we have a little more parity on the women's side. Like I feel like it's when it's either Paige is dominating or Kat is dominating. Kind of like Paige Bierkus was saying, it's Paige or Kat, Paige or Kat. And I would like to see it end up being like, maybe not just the two of them. I want to see, you know, we had Hokum a little more last year.
Yeah.
I think she's still kind of in transition mode to her new bag. Paige Bierkus, I think, is up in the mix. So we'll see. But I hope we can get to a point where it's like, we're really struggling to guess who's going to win every week.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of do that on the men's side.
Exactly. that's what I want to see, especially when it comes to like the top fives. Like the one and two on the men's side, it's pretty easy. On the top fives, it's like needle in a haystack half the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, again, you can check out the Portland Open Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's not starting on a Friday this weekend. So you got your holiday. If you want to be indoors watching disc golf for the Disc Golf Pro Tour, you can do that. So we will recap that one next week here on PDGA Radio. But I think, Sarah, we are done for this week's episode.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. Well, thank you again to Dan Hastings for taking some time out. And Sarah, thank you for chatting Masters Cup and Portland Open with me. It's a good time.
Anytime.
All right. If you are enjoying the show, please let us know. We are radio@pdj.com. Subscribe. Leave a little review, you know.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Send them a message. Tag us in your Instagram stories when you're listening to us so we can share. It's just at PDGA.
I'm at Sarah Lambo, S-A-R-A.
At Sarah Lambo. There you go. And so we would love to see you, you know, spreading the love. We appreciate it. So for Sarah Lamerson, I'm Steve Hill. That was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we will see you next week.